Let's read first of all from the 12th chapter of Matthew, the 43rd through the 45th verse. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, 44, 45. When the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. And he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. When he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Then in the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians, in the 12th verse, we read, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Or the margin, the King James translation, or mine King James translation reads, against wicked spirits in the heavenlies. And then in the 5th chapter of Mark's gospel, we read about the Gadarene demoniac, or as we call him sometimes, the madman of Gadara. Beginning with the very first verse of the 5th chapter, and they came over to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what's thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, there were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. Notice that expression, very important. Him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. We felt that it would be well if we went into a little more in-depth study concerning the devil and demons and demon activities. And so we found from reading Ezekiel 28, verse 13 through 19, and reading from Isaiah, the 14th chapter, the 12th through the 17th verses, as well as these verses we read today, we found where the devil came from. We found that Satan, or Lucifer, as he is called, was not created as he now is. These verses here in Ezekiel and Isaiah let us know that Satan, or the devil, or Lucifer, is a created being, and that the scripture said he was perfect in his ways from the day he was created till iniquity was found in him. So though he was a created being, evidently he did have a right of choice or a free will. He could choose. And then the scripture tells us why he fell. One reason was that he was lifted up in pride because of his beauty. In Isaiah we read that evidently he had some kind of the throne and he ruled somewhere yonder in the past. In the economy of God he ruled over a certain portion because he had a throne, because he said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High, be like God. And so he was cast down and cast out. And so therefore it is certainly scriptural, biblical, no intelligent person would contradict it, that Satan, the devil, demons, evil spirits, all of them are fallen beings. There may be some controversy about that kingdom or whatever it was back there, where they were, but at least they are fallen beings. Without any question, that's scriptural. Secondly, these fallen beings, and they are spirit beings, so they are eternal personalities. They seek embodiment in man. You can see that from scriptures we read here. If they cannot find embodiment in man, on second choice, they'll take embodiment in animals. They said, don't send us away out of the country. Let us go into the swine. The reason that they seek embodiment in man, of course, is because they are spirits. And, of course, as spirits, they can influence activity in this realm. But to find their finest, their widest range of expression, you see, they have that by embodying man and working through him. Otherwise, of course, they could influence him. And then these spirits, when they do embody man, they make men what they are. For instance, these were unclean spirits. It says all of them were. It says the unclean spirits went out of this man into the swine, doesn't it? They made the man unclean. The man wandered around out there naked, cutting himself with stones. We pointed out Jesus dealing with spirits sometimes when it comes to physical things. Sometimes there is in the realm of the physical entirely. You understand that this man was taken over not only physically, because you see there was supernatural strength manifested through him because of this demon activity, in that he could break all the chains. They couldn't get a chain stout enough to hold him, or fetters. But then he was also taken over mentally, completely possessed. Because you see, one of these demons controlled his voice. And he ran, it says, the man had his dwelling among the tombs, that he had been often bound with fetters and chains and so on, always night and day in the mountains, and in the tombs crying and cutting himself. But when it's talking about the man now. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Now notice. And cried with a loud voice. The man cried with a loud voice. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? Well, Jesus had never been in that country before. He had never been over there to the country of the Gadarenes before. And yet, you see, that spirit knew who he was. That spirit that possessed him. Did you notice it said he was possessed of the devil and had the legion? The one that possessed him knew exactly who Jesus was. And using his physical voice, you see, because he's completely taken over. We could say fully possessed. Then he used his voice. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. You'll notice that on other occasions when Jesus would, in other places, go into the synagogue or something, you know, some of these spirits would cry out, we know thee who thou art, using the man's voice or the person's voice, because you see it possessed them. We know thee who thou art. Hast thou come to torment us before the time? See, they know their time's not up yet. You see, one of these days their time's going to be up, bless God. Amen. Isn't that right? Amen. And then they can be dealt with forever. Hallelujah. Well, they make men what they are. Sometimes they affect you. You see, I point out that they affect you if you're fully possessed, spirit, soul, and body. But they can't just oppress your body. Sometimes, in dealing with deaf and dumb people, Jesus said, thy deaf and dumb spirit, come out. He said, that woman, you know, in the 13th chapter of Luke that we looked at, the woman with the spirit of infirmity. Spirit of infirmity. Body bowed together, could no wise lift herself up. Then Jesus said, Satan had bound her, lo, these 18 years. And so you'll find that sometimes, and don't get your imagination running wild now and miss it, but sometimes in dealing with physical maladies, even among Christians, spirits have to be dealt with. But if it's necessary, the Lord will show you. See, a lot of people get into imagination. Say, well, that's probably what's wrong with me. Well, did the Spirit say so? I mean, you know what I mean. If the Lord didn't say anything about it, if you're dealing with people, I'm talking to you folks now who minister to people, Don't try to deal with devils unless the Lord shows you. Unless you're dealing with it from the standpoint that you know behind the whole thing the devil's responsible, and so just in a general way you're dealing with it. The Bible said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. In other words, he calls sickness satanic oppression, but there's a difference between oppression and possession. You see what I'm saying? And so, generally speaking, you stand against the devil, you know, but I'm talking about specifically dealing with demons unless the Lord showed you, you see. For this simple reason that if he doesn't say anything, I'm talking about sick people now, you understand that. If he doesn't say anything, the Lord doesn't say anything to me, then I always just proceed go as much by what he doesn't say as what he does say. Proceed on this basis that the word of God will work because he sent his word and healed them. Proceed on that. If otherwise it must be dealt with, fine. Now, a number of times, you see, how does he show you if there are demons there? Well, through the word of knowledge or through discerning of spirits. What's the difference between the two of them? Well, the word of knowledge is a revelation by the Spirit of God concerning people, places, or things, you know, or facts in existence. Now, for instance, my first case of dealing with a person that was similar to this. This man, and incidentally, this demon had gotten a hold of this person's mind, was a woman. Actually, she is a full gospel preacher in the ministry. And afterwards, she said, well, she got to worrying. You see, when you worry, friends, you open the door. You leave the door of your house open at nighttime. Well, burglars might get in. Polecat might get in. Some stray dog might come in. Isn't that true? You don't know what might come if you leave the door open. Friend, when you begin to worry, you leave the door open to the devil. And that's not the only thing, of course, but that's happened. So this woman began to worry about a number of things. And she'd just say, though, she's a preacher now, minister of the gospel. You know, she'd say, well, that just worries me to death. You know, I tell you, I'm just worried so much, I lose my mind. And she did. Just flat went crazy. Became violently insane. Tried to kill herself. Tried to kill others. Well, you say, whatever happened to her spirit? Well, that thing never got into her spirit. It's in her mind. Took her mind over. You see, people can be fully possessed or they can be partially possessed. Now, if you're fully possessed, of course, you'd be possessed spirit, soul, and body. But, make a long story short, for over 2 years, she's in a padded cell until her general health deteriorated, you know, and so on, because she's no exercise. Well, finally, the doctor said, her mind would never be right. They didn't think she'd be violently insane anymore. But her sister brought her for prayer, and, I didn't know how to deal with it. I knew this, that you could be sick in your head, just like you're sick at your stomach. You see, your brain is a physical organ. The mind operates through the brain. Well, your stomach's a physical organ, or your liver. And just because your liver got out of whack, well, you wouldn't think, you know, that you're demon-possessed. Or just because your mind, or your brain, in other words, got out of whack. Physical organ is no sign that you're possessed of the devil. It can be sickness. Well, in that case, then healing will do it. You can lay hands on people, anoint them with oil, and receive healing. But on the other hand, a demon can get a hold of some organ of your body. Stomach, liver, or heart, or head. Amen. And if that's the case, the demon has to be dealt with. And I said, Lord, I don't know how to deal with this. You do. I'm just going to depend on you to show me. And as we were praying, we spent some time in prayer, my wife and I and some more ladies with this lady. And the Spirit of God said to me, you say, how did he say it? Well, just in here like he does to every Christian. On the inside of him, that still small voice. Said, go stand in front of her and say, come out, thine unclean spirit, in the name of Jesus. Well, now you see, when the Spirit said that, he brought revelation to me. That there's an unclean spirit that must come out of her. And I say sometimes, just speaking humorously to get it over to her, say, I did, he did, God did, she did, whole things, you know, she was delivered. Well, now, how did I know that? I didn't know that till the Spirit said that. Now, right on the other hand, here's several years later, after the Lord said some other things to me, which I'll get to in just a moment. Then here's another man, he's not a preacher, he's not a full gospel preacher like that woman was. And incidentally, she got right back into a certain area of ministry, primarily teaching. And 19 years later, we're still active. Glory to God. When she's 67 years old, she's about between 47 and 48 when I dealt with her. And when she was 67, almost 68, nearly 20 years later, actually it's 19 past, she's still active. No more problems. Well, now you see, I knew that because the Spirit said. He told me what to do. Now, what would you have done if he hadn't have told you what to do? I would have dealt with it from the standpoint of sickness. I would have laid hands on her, nor at all, and claimed her healing. See, I go as much by what he don't say as I do what he does say. But now you see, again, here's where you got to pray. You can't just say, well, you know, float along through life, you know, and joke, and be funny. Say, well, he didn't say anything. Well, no, you didn't take time. See, we prayed probably a couple of hours before the Spirit said that to me. See, that's a benefit. That's kind of atmosphere. See, you got to create an atmosphere that he operates in before you'll get these things. Remember that 13th chapter of Acts, again, about those five brethren up there at the church there? The 13th chapter of Acts. Now, there was in the church at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, such as, starts with Barnabas and ends with Saul. And it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. Now, how long had they been ministering to the Lord and fasting? Well, it had to have been some time. I mean, you wouldn't have said, I went on a 10-minute fast. I mean, that wouldn't be any fast, would it? Huh? Oh, I've been fasting the last 30 minutes. Isn't that right? No, there has to be some hours involved here, doesn't there? Otherwise, you wouldn't be fasting. So how long were they? Well, it doesn't say how long, but actually it's inferred. After all, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, they had to miss at least one meal, didn't they, to be fasting, huh? Well, you miss one meal, that's going to involve a few hours, isn't it? Well, they probably spent all those hours ministering to the Lord. What do you mean, ministering to the Lord? Well, praying and singing and worshiping God. Yes. Hallelujah. Then the Holy Ghost said. See, that's a reason that he don't ever say anything. Folk never wait long enough for him to say anything. And I prayed 3 minutes, he didn't say anything to me. Well, I know it, and he's not next time. So forget it. No, we prayed about 2 hours, 2 hours and a half when the Holy Ghost said. Go stand in front of her and say, come out, thy unclean spirit, in the name of Jesus. And I did, and he did. Praise God. God did. Now, on another occasion now that lady, like I said, was a minister. But now here's another man. He's saved, baptized the Holy Ghost, full gospel. Man, just a member, just a layman, not a preacher, not a minister. Now you see, here's the difference between the word of wisdom and discerning the spirit. A word of knowledge, that is. A word of knowledge just brings a revelation. When the Spirit said, go stand in front of us, say, come out, the unclean spirit, then it's revealed to me, I know there's an unclean spirit, must come out. But now in dealing with this man, I saw. Now I had my eyes wide open, just like I do right now. But I saw this looked like a little monkey. I said, look like one. Now really, when you really get down, when I say look like, I mean about the size of one. Now if you're going to get right real technical and say, well, was it a monkey? Well, certainly not, it wasn't a monkey. I just said it was similar in size, and looked to some extent that way, but decidedly different. Sitting on his right shoulder with his arm around his head, I see. In fact, he's already committed to the asylum. They're just waiting a certain day come, they're going to take him. See, they had to have a hearing, you know, in the court on it, and doctors testify and so on. And so I saw this demon sitting on his shoulder. Saw it. Saw it just as plain as I see your head on your shoulders, just as real. And with his arm, that demon had his arms in an arm lock right around the man's head, see? The other brought the revelation, I knew it was there. Here, I saw it was there. That's the difference between the two. Of course, a word of knowledge has a wider application than discerning the spirits. Discerning the spirits only has to do with spirits. Word of knowledge has to do with anything that's facts. See, so it had a much wider application. So, and when I saw this, I spoke to the Spirit. Now, I want you to see that because we're going to get to this case here in a minute. This man, you can see something. And I said, you're going to have to leave him. Now, when I said that, he spoke up. And I see nobody else heard him say anything. They could hear, the whole congregation could hear what I said because I said it with my physical voice. But see, I'm seeing into the realm of spirits. And so, it's supernatural insight in the realm of spirit. That's what discerning spirit is. And I said, you're going to have to go. Well, I heard what he said. He said to me, I know I am if you say so, but I sure don't want to. Now I want you to notice something. Look here in this fifth chapter of Mark. You can see this. But when he, now he, that's the sixth verse. Let's start in there again now. When he, that's the man. He, the man. The other verses just between that said, always night and day, he, the man, was in the mountains, in the tomb, crying, cutting himself with stones, see? When he saw Jesus afar off, he, the man, ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice. The man cried with a loud voice. But read it, was the demon motivated him that possessed him, you see. Cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thy Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. You see, Jesus had already said to him, because he had already discerned, or through discerning the Spirit saw, so he had already spoken to the Spirit and said, come out of him. That's the reason the Spirit was saying what he said. Now listen. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now see, if you had been standing there, you'd have heard that, because he used the man's voice. You had heard these words come out of his mouth. My name is Legion, for we are many. Now notice. And he, that one that possessed him, you see. Now hold verse 10 and look right up there at verse 15. Compare the two. And they come to Jesus. That's the people. After those that kept the swine ran into the city and told what happened, people come rushing out there. They come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. Somebody said he was possessed by 2,000 devils. Oh, no. There's only one of them that possessed him. He was possessed with the devil. That one that possessed him could use his voice. He was possessed with the devil and had the legion. Did you notice the expression? All right. And he besought this one that possessed him could use his voice. All of them couldn't have used his voice at once. He that possessed him, he besought him much that he would not send them. See, he, the one that possessed him, besought on the part of them, all of them, the demons, that he, Jesus, would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feed. Now notice verse 12. And all the devils besought him. All of them spoke up. All of them couldn't use the man's voice. How did Jesus hear what they were saying? Well, remember, he had the Spirit without measure. Because, see, he, by the Holy Ghost, was supernaturally seeing into the realm of spirits. Then he could hear that. I remember and I'm going to get to that in just a minute, when Jesus appeared to me in 1952 in the vision and said, I'm going to teach you concerning demons and evil spirits and so on. He said that to me, and I didn't know. So I had to go read that again. He said, you see, if you'd have been standing there, you'd have heard this one, because the man's voice was used, don't send us away out of the country. But when all the devil spoke up, you wouldn't heard anything unless you had discerning the spirits. But because I was seeing into the realm of spirits, I could both see and hear in the realm of spirits. So I heard all of them say, don't send us away out of this country. Now, back to this man that I was telling you about. See the same thing, you see? Nobody else saw anything or heard anything. Now, that man was saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost, spoke the other tongues. He was not demon possessed. He was not fully possessed. Somewhere or another, this devil had got a hold of his mind. Now, again, in checking up on it, I've been in contact with a man in recent years, and he's still delivered. Praise the Lord. But same thing happened with him. He began to worry. Worry opens the door to the devil. I mean, more than one doctor has said to me, medical doctor has said to me at different times through the years, that there are more people sick, there are more people insane and in the asylum, and more people dead over worry than any other one thing. The Bible teaches us it's sin to worry. Now, you know, you go to preaching against other things and people holler, "Woo, glory, amen, preach it, brother." Well, you go to preaching against a worry habit, they'd get mad. No. God don't want us to have any. He don't want us to be bound to anything. Does he? No, free. Praise God. Now, you see, the Bible said, plainly said it, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7, you know, casting all your care upon him. The Amplified Translation says, casting all your worries, all of your anxieties, all of your concerns, all of your cares, once and for all upon him. Hallelujah. Bible said, Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. King James, that's blind to us. Read other translations or read. Do not fret, have any anxiety about anything. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, now you see, you go to fret and have anxiety about these things, then you're disobeying the Bible and you open the door to the devil. I don't know about you, but I just refuse to do it. How are you going to keep from it? Practice the Bible. The Bible said, You know, Paul writing to one of the churches there, and these letters written to the church said, let him that stole steal no more. Now, how do you practice that? By not stealing. It said, let him that lie, lie no more. How do you practice that? By not lying. It said, do not fret. How do you practice that? By not fretting. Or have any anxiety. That means worry, you see. How do you practice that? By doing it, praise God. Just putting it in practice. Well, I can't do it. Well, get saved, then you can. Oh, I'm saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and I can't do it. Well, quit lying now. See, there you go. No wonder people are in a mess. Yeah, but I've had people want to argue with me, spirit-filled people, you know. I knew they talked in tongues. I knew they saved all right, but I knew they wasn't practicing the Bible, you know. Said, I just know better. I said, well, you know more than the Bible then, don't you? You know more than God, huh? And I've had two people, bless their heart, most of them will see it. I've had finally had two people said, well, Bible or no Bible, I know better. I said, no, if the Bible said it, you can do it. God's not unjust. He's not going to tell me to do something I can't do. If he told me to do something I can't do, he's unjust, isn't he? Yeah. No, I can do it. If the Bible said do it, I can do it. Amen. And especially if I'm born again and spirit-filled because I've got the Holy Ghost to help me do it. And now, no wonder people don't make it. They take sides against the Bible. Why don't you just side in with it? Just side in with the Bible. Do it. Practice it. Be a doer of the word. Remember what James said? If you're a hearer of the word and not a doer, he said you have deceived yourself. No, I know we laid off on somebody else, but you've deceived yourself. The margin of my King James translation there said you've deluded yourself. See, we've got a lot of self-deluded people. Oh, I know they'd get mad about it, you know, lay it on you, lay it on everybody else, but the problem's with them, not you know. Amen. Well, what's that got to do with healing everything in the world? What did it do with this man and woman by not doing what the Bible said? The devil took their mind over. Not the spirit, but their mind over. Till they, one of them is already and spent 2.5 years in the asylum in the padded cell, and the other's committed to the asylum. Well, in the one case, I knew because the spirit said it. I knew by the word of knowledge. He brought the revelation to me. Dealt with the spirit. Here, I saw the spirit. Heard him. All these devils spoke up, said, don't send us away. This spirit said to me, I both saw and heard what he said. He said, I don't want to leave, but if you tell me to, I know I have to. See, devils know a whole lot more than you do. Unless you know the Bible. They know Jesus arose victorious over them, bless God. The Bible said he put to naught principalities and powers. They know when he put them to naught. Amen. Another translation said he disarmed them. But just stay with the King James. Put them to naught. Put them to naught. That means he reduced them to naught. You know what naught is? That's zero. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Another time they said he paralyzed them. Well, glory to God. That means far as you're concerned. But yet, see, legally all that's happened, but it needs to become a reality in your life. It becomes a reality in your life by you practicing the word and be a doer of the word. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so, this spirit said, I know I have to if you tell me to, but I don't want to. I said, well, I'll tell you to. Now leave him in the name of Jesus. And he just fell off on the floor. See? Well, now, all the man heard me say and all the congregation heard me say was, well, I tell you to, in the name of Jesus, you have to go. And when that thing fell off him on the floor, this man cried out. See, I didn't tell people, anybody what I saw. He cried out, something snapped from around my head just like an iron band. Never did take him to the asylum. He's delivered. Yeah, but now, what if you're dealing with an insane person? A person that they brought right out of the asylum, you know. The doctor said their mind will never be right. They'll always need institutional care. And what if the Spirit of God didn't say, go stand in front of them and say, come out, thine clean spirit. What if the Spirit didn't give you? See, you can't give these things to yourself. Now, you can imagine them, but they won't work when you imagine them. You can hope it'll be that way. So I'll just go ahead and act that way, hoping it's so, and nothing will happen. I mean, if you've got discerning the Spirit, said, now God revealed this to me, you know, this pray for him. No, if he revealed it to you, you go ahead and do it. Amen.
Amen.
I said, amen.
Amen.
That's right. Never did teach this way before. I mean, just this way, with this slang on it. But that's all right. I mean, Spirit of God knows what he's doing. We'll go with it. And you didn't have discerning the Spirit. Or you didn't have the word. Now, what are you going to do then? Well, I'm either going to minister to them by laying on of hands as I would anybody with any kind of an ailment, or a prayer cloth. Lay hands on a cloth. Pray that the same healing anointing I'm anointed with. Now here's another woman right here in the state of Oklahoma. 7 years. right up the road here, you know, in Veneta. There's a state institution up there. 7 years. Doctor said a 9 will never be right. Her sister took a handkerchief that I laid hands on, laid it on her. In 3 days' time, her mind was perfectly all right. They dismissed her sinner. We've had two more of them up there done the same thing with. One of them had been up there for 14 years. 14 years. His sister took a handkerchief we laid hands on, took it to him. Didn't even tell him what it was. Said, just keep that on your person all the time. See, she could talk to him. Third day. I don't know why. Third day. Every one of them, the third day. Third day, suddenly his mind is all right. Doc, he'd been 14 years. They said he'll have to spend all of his life here. They ran several tests on him. The psychiatrist pronounced him normal and sent him home. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we had no revelation, but you see, we just treated it. So you see, see how dependent we are on the Holy Ghost. Now, I was relating in these classes how that 1952 the Lord appeared to me in a vision here in the south, well, the southeast part of the state. Now, Broken Bow, I was holding a meeting there. In December of 1952, just a time of teaching, actually, the last 2 weeks before Christmas. And in the kitchen of the parsonage, I stayed with the pastor and his wife. And as we were praying, the Lord appeared to him. I saw him standing just about where the top of the ceiling is, top of the room. And the first thing he said to me was, I'm going to teach you concerning the devil, demons, and demon possession. And the whole vision is about an hour and a half long. And I've already related part of it, so I'll skip over that. And we'll get down to this part of it. You see, in the vision, you could just see it come out in front of you. You know what I mean? Like on a television screen, except Jesus narrated and told me what happened. Now, here was a man. And this man was walking along, you see. And I didn't recognize the man. He'd already showed me a woman that I recognized. But this man, I didn't recognize him. Never seen him. He said, here came a demon. Sat on his shoulder. He had already said to me, I'll show you how the devil will get into people if they'll let him. Now, this first one was a Christian that the devil had gotten into him. He showed me how that. This man was not a Christian, but yet the devil wasn't in him. His spirit's not reborn, all right, and he's got, but yet, right on the other hand, he wasn't taken over by demons. They're ruled very often by him, but not taken over. But here this demon came, sat upon his shoulder, began to whisper in his ear, and he began to listen. Jesus narrated his story. He began to listen to what the devil had to say about him, and it came into his mind. Jesus said, now he's obsessed. He's obsessed with that kind of thinking. Because he liked to think right away. You go to thinking the devil's thoughts after him, my friends, and your mind will become obsessed with that kind of thinking. And then you can see the demon went from his head down inside him. That means into his spirit. You see, it just took him over. And then the Lord talked to me about this scripture back there in Matthew about when the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, he seek to walk through dry place, he can rest, find none. And so demons are of a different look. There are some of them that's as big as baboon. They look a whole lot like a baboon. Exactly what they look. Great big creatures. Discerning of spirits. See, if you claim to have discerning spirits and all you ever do is to see devils or demons, you don't have discerning of spirits. Amen. That would be discerning of devils. See, that isn't what this is. It's discerning of spirits. And see, that's what Jesus said to me there in 52. He said, for from this night forward, what's known in my word as discerning the spirits. I never had discerning the spirits operating before or manifested. I had the word of knowledge. But he said, what's known in my word as discerning the spirits will operate in your life or ministry when you're in the spirit. And so, you know, I've seen angels. I'm here in Tulsa because of seeing an angel. I'll not go into that. But that's, I'm here. You know, somebody said, well, how come you to come to Tulsa? Brother Roberts was up here in Tulsa. Brother Osmond was up here in Tulsa. How come you to locate here in Tulsa? I moved 1966 to Tulsa, bought T.L. Osmond's old office building. Well, I'll tell you the truth about it. It all began by me seeing an angel and him telling me what was going to happen and saying, I've sent my angels out to bring in the money and by a certain time you'll have so many thousands of dollars in your hand. And I did. But I don't tell people that. You're the first. That's the first time I ever said that. Right here, just now. People ask me. Somebody asked me. A minister asked me that the other day. Dr. Culpepper spoke here for us on Monday. Well, we were in Divorce of Healing back yonder years ago. He said to me, how come you to locate here? I said, well, just the Lord led me. I didn't go in detail about it. Tell him. I've never said before that too, till now, till today, see. But actually, it all began with an angel appearing to me. Jesus and an angel appearing to me in 1963, it's 3 years later that we moved up here, you see. But it all began back there. See, a lot of times you get some kind of a supernatural visitation, you think it's going to happen next week. It don't always happen next week, dear friends. Amen. So this man that I saw in this vision, see, Jesus showed me how devils get a hold of people, see. Now this thing got a hold of him. He began to listen. See, actually your mind is the door to your heart. See, how do you get people saved anyway? Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. If you can get folks to listen, and that word has to go through their mind to get inside them. Well, what about people whose mind is not right? Well, you need to worry about them. They'll go in all right. Trouble with a lot of folks is they're always worrying about somebody else. You better just think about yourself. God will take care of them. Don't you bother about that. Amen. Now then, of course, if people had an opportunity and turned down the truth and turned down the gospel and then lost their mind, well, of course, they'd be lost. But if somebody never did have a right mind, well, they wouldn't be lost. They'd go in with the babies. You think babies are lost? Little children? Never reach age accountability. Now, some people think they are. After all, where do you think the spirits of those babies come from? The Bible said God's the father of spirits. Where did their spirit come from? Now, we know about their physical being. They are a physical offspring, but they're not a spiritual offspring from mom and daddy. They partake of your physical nature because they're your physical offspring. And they will be influenced by your spiritual nature. I've seen little children out of the home where the father is a drunkard and a gambler, anything you want to mention. And the mother wasn't any better. And yet I've seen little children never taken to Sunday school or church in their lifetime. And I've seen those same little children have the greatest respect for spiritual things. And if you talk to them, which I have absolutely astounded you. Because, see, their spirits didn't come from mom and daddy. You can't create spirits. Spirit came from God. Like Paul said over there in Romans, he said, I was alive without the law. What do you mean? Man, his spirit. Now notice, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Well, he wasn't physically dead because he's alive right now to us and to the church in Rome. He meant that his spirit was alive to God until he reached the time of age of accountability to know the difference between right and wrong because of the sinful nature in his flesh. While he violated that, his spirit then was out of fellowship with God and had to be reborn. Just that simple. I said just that simple. And yet things like that, small wars have been fought over. Remember there in my hometown, or my home county, Collin County, Texas, just county north of Dallas County. Remember Crouch Moore Funeral Home years ago, Mr. Tom Moore, I knew him. He said one of the saddest funerals that he ever attended was a little baby had died, just a few months old, I think 4 months old. They had the funeral. He said, I don't know who these people were because we had funerals. See, they had out in the country in the graveyard, the cemetery where the child was buried, they had a little church there. And maybe the country people gathered had a church there, but it may have just been a chapel they had for the, you know, to have a funeral. So they had it there. And he said, this old fella, whoever he was, I don't know what he was, supposedly preaching the funeral, and said, he said to them, this young couple, she hadn't been married very long, just a couple of years, just little old girl, about 18 years old. She had married into this family. Very religious, but awfully ungodly. And he said that this old fellow, you know, said he is a old man. Those days, people didn't have whiskers much, you know. He had these whiskers, you know. He said, I don't know what he represented. Might have been Jehu, I don't know. He said to this family and to this young couple sitting right here, and here's the little casket, you know, with that little baby in it, you know, a few months old. You'll never see that child again. Look into its face, you know. Because once it's put in, you'll never, that's the end of it, it perished, that's it, you'll never see it again. Well, I remember Tom said, that girl didn't know a thing. Now, Tom was a Christian. Tom Moore was a Christian. He said, I knew in talking to the family that they didn't know a thing about, you know, Christianity. They had some kind of religion, but not Christianity. Christianity isn't a religion, it's a life. And he said, I knew that little 18-year-old girl is just wild as a March hare. But he said, she jumped up right in the middle of that fellow's sermon and run up there to that casket, crying. He said, don't tell me that. I don't believe it. I won't accept it. Something on the inside of me, it was her spirit. Something on the inside of me tells me I'll see my baby again. Something on the inside of me tells me. Well, they run and got her all right. But Tom said, well, of course, I was a funeral director. I couldn't do anything, but I wanted to say, amen, sister, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. That was her spirit telling her that. Even though she wasn't saved, her spirit knew better than that. See, a lot of people got their head educated at the expense of the spirits. Amen. Well, in this vision, the Lord said to me, now you see, this man began to listen to the devil. He began to listen to that spirit. I saw him come, sat on his shoulder, whisper into his ear. You start thinking, I'm saying this now, you start thinking the devil's thoughts after you, friends, and he can take your mind over. So that man became obsessed. Then it went down into his spirit. He became possessed. And then I saw these other spirits come. I said spirits in the spirit world have different shapes and forms, just like angels in the other realm have different shapes and forms. And here's something, because again, it's controversial, but yet there's a little intimation in the scripture about it. See, this one that came and possessed that fellow looked to me like, you know, about the size of a little monkey and looked very similar. But now these others came flying and they looked like great big flies. You remember what they accused? Those Pharisees accused Jesus of casting out devils by Beelzebub. Remember that? You remember that? Beelzebub? Did you ever look Beelzebub up? You know what it means? The Lord of Flies. Now, that's what these look like. I don't mean little bitty flies. Oh, no, great bigots. That's what they look like. This demon that took this fellow over first looked to me like he sort of held up a, like you'd hold up a trap door, you know, in the top of the man's head, and all these, just a bunch of them come flying in. Seeing as all of them got inside him, he let that door down, you see. Then Jesus said to me, well, now you see, that corresponds to the fact that, you know, this spirit went and got several other spirits, and he took them with him, and they all entered the man. See, one will get in, and then they'll let others in. That's the reason people very often go from bad to worse. And Jesus said to me, now walk up to this man. In the vision, you see. Because he said, you see, this man is fully possessed. He used that term, Jesus. I never heard anybody use that term, fully possessed of the devil. That means he's taking over spirit, soul, and body. If one is fully possessed, that means they could be partially possessed. Now just like that full gospel minister, that spirit took over her mind. It didn't take over her spirit. And at times manifested itself through her physical being. Because I know it didn't take over spirit, because just as soon as the thing left and her mind was clear, she was right exactly where she was before. Her spirit was intact. She didn't have to pray through and get right with God. She just worshiped God. And all this had happened in the 2.5 year period she had no knowledge of, just like a blank space in her life. Had no knowledge whatever, you see. Well, Jesus said, walk up to this man, because he said, when one is fully possessed, when you get into their presence, they'll recognize you. He said, you'll notice here in the 5th chapter of Mark, he said, did you notice that spirit recognized me? I'd never been there before to the land of the Gadarenes or the country of the Gadarenes. Never been there before. Then he called to something else I didn't notice. He said, you see, you read that verse down there in that 8th verse. For he said unto him, Jesus said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. He said, you see, I didn't say that right where it's written there, but I said that on back up here. The minute I saw him, I knew. I knew through discerning of spirits, I knew exactly what spirit it was. And I said to him, come out of the man. You see, it says, for he had said. So he had already said, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee? Jesus, thou son of the most high God, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. So then, I walked up to this man. Now, the minute I walked up to the man, in the vision I'm talking about, you see, out of the man's voice, because of the demon within him, he spoke right up and said, I know you. I know who you are. Now, Jesus said to me, they'll recognize you when one's fully possessed. Did you ever notice he said, I'd tell them to shut up? He said, don't let them talk. Tell them to hush. See, a lot of people always having a conversation. Jesus told me, he said, don't let them talk. Make them shut up. Now, I have never come across but with one person here in America. We don't have as much of that activity in demon possession here in America. We have a lot of demon activity, don't misunderstand me. But I'm talking about full possession, like they do sometimes in other countries. Because you see, there's more light here. Light dispels darkness. notice about these spirits that we have to do with, one area of them is rulers of the darkness of this world. So he said, Jesus said to me, don't let him talk, tell him to shut up. Then by discerning a spirit, because he said, from this night forward, discerning a spirit will operate in your life when you're in the spirit. Going back to the vision now, see. And you'll know by discerning of spirits what kind of a spirit it is. Now, do you notice he said, come out of him unclean? How'd Jesus know? He hadn't been across there before. He just now laid eyes on the man. How'd he know to say, come out unclean spirit? See, the Bible talks about lying spirits. There are other kinds of spirits. You'll know, you see, through discerning a spirit, that is, you'll see them, or by the word of knowledge, you'll have the revelation of it to know what kind it is. Therefore, call him out in the name of Jesus. See, that's what he did here. He said, thy unclean spirit, come out. Well, immediately I knew what kind of spirit that was that possessed that man, and so I called it out. This happened to be a deceiving. There are deceiving spirits, there are lying spirits, there are religious spirits. They're homosexual spirits. They're lesbian spirits. Come right on down the line. They're deaf and dumb spirits. And I'll tell you the truth about this. Some of those things, some of those spirits stink. You can't hardly stand it. It smells so bad. So, well, I never smelled anything. No. If you was over in the realm of the spirits, you could. And I knew who was in. Sometimes I walked into this room, and I knew, I could smell it. The spirit of death's on somebody. See, you know death's not of God? And the spirit of death didn't come from heaven. There didn't death up there. Are you listening to me? See? Now God, you see, took the sting out of death for us. Thank God for that. And death is, physical death is the last enemy. See, if it was heaven, it wouldn't be an enemy. It'd be a friend. Wouldn't it? I said, wouldn't it? The Bible said death, physical death, is the last enemy that'll be put underfoot. Doesn't it? I said, doesn't it? It said physical death's an enemy. An enemy. Well, if physical death is an enemy, where does it come from? Who's he associated with? It has to be with the devil who's our enemy. Physical death's not a friend. God's a friend. Hallelujah. Physical death didn't come from heaven. See, there's a spirit of death. You can smell it sometime. Sometimes I come into this room because we have people that come here, you see. It's on their last leg, unless they can get healed by divine power, and they could, under right conditions, you understand. Then they're dead. I mean, that's it. We have a lot of them. Sometimes you can't hardly stand it. But you see, you can't. I'm not God. I can only preach the truth. But you can let it build up on you till you can't eat and you can't sleep. And sometimes the burden before you come to this class, it's so heavy until you can't keep hardly from falling on your knees and weeping. It's almost too much. You see, and the Lord keeps saying to me, you see, you're trying to do it. You're trying to do it. You can't do it. Let me do it. Let me do it. See, he knows what he's doing. I have to turn it over to him. But doesn't it be too much? It'd be too much. It'd weight you down and kill you. But you can smell death. You can smell demons sometimes. Oh, I'll tell you the truth about it. Here's an area that church hadn't had any teaching, or very little, if any at all, and we know so little about it. But folks are afraid of it. You know, so they want to close their eyes. Well, it won't go away just because you close your eyes to it. Let's find out what the Bible said and get into the Bible, bless God, and deal with the devil and demons. Well, now, could you deal with that? No, sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. I said, sometimes you can. You know what I mean? I'm talking about the spirit of death. Sometimes it's on people. I know another person's here in our meeting. I've known him for several years, for that concern. And man, I'd been around him before, but of course they wasn't that near dead. But I mean, before I got into this room, I could smell it in the other room down the hall. Nobody else smelled anything, but I could smell death. When I came into the room, I knew who it was. I remember I was praying the nighttime, so burdened, so concerned. Why can't I help that person? You know, they're a minister, husband's a minister. They're both of them ordained ministers. I remember the night time the Lord said to me, I was saying to the Lord, Lord, why can't I help them? She's near dead. Not very long, just going to be a few days here. Just as plain as somebody speaking to her. I don't mean now that still small voice like he speaks to us. This is a different area. But like somebody speaking to the Lord said to me, I never did call either one of them to the ministry. They put themselves in the ministry. You know that's dangerous. In the Old Testament, if you intruded in the wrong office, see, that's under the law, you fell dead instantly. under the New Testament, you're under grace. You can get by for much longer, but you can't get by forever. See, if you don't judge yourself, read the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, get down to the end of it, and you'll see it said, if we judge ourselves, we'll not be judged, but when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord, and we'll not be condemned of the world. And he's talking about sickness and disease and dying prematurely. Are you listening? He said, I never called either one of them to the ministry. They put themselves into ministry. They wanted to do that. Well, I won't obey God. I don't want to be a minister if God don't want me to be one. Do you? I mean, full-time minister. He wants all of us to witness, or you know, but you know what I'm talking about. They wanted that, see? So they put themselves in it. Well, they're operating in the flesh. They've left the spirit. I said, well, now, Lord, you see, and that's why, you see. Well, when you're in disobedience, you can't claim the best of God. Are you listening to me? You're in disobedience. You're out of the perfect will of God. You can't claim God's perfect will. You can't do it. I said, Lord, do you want me to tell her or him or them? He said, no, don't you say a word to them. They wouldn't accept it if you did. Well, I said, what am I going to do? He said, well, she'll be dead in a few days. So what can you do? Nothing. Just pray till have a glorious home going. Amen. Yeah, all of these areas need to be covered, friends. Because it's all in the book. It's all in the Bible. So then, Jesus said, now you'll know by discerning of spirits what kind of a spirit. Because he said, to cast them out, you have to know what kind they are. And sometimes their name, not always. So he said, I had said, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. But it didn't come out. Did you notice that? Right here in this chapter. And then he said, Jesus said, I ask him, what is thy name? And he answered, my name is Legion. Now he said, you'll know what kind of spirit it is through discerning of spirits. You could know it through word of knowledge, see. So you tell him to come out. Now, if he doesn't come out, then ask him. Because on some of them, you'll have to know their name or their number. That's what Jesus said to me. You notice involved here is both name and number, Legion. He said, what is thy name? He said, my name is Legion. Jesus commanded all of them to come out. So, when I on this in the vision now with the man, when he recognized me and I said, shut up, you know, wouldn't let him speak. Then knew by the Spirit, discerning the Spirit, the kind, and said, come out of him. This happened to be a deceiving spirit. And I said, thy foul deceiving spirit, come out of the man. He didn't come out. Then I said, what is thy name? Because Jesus said, you'll have to know the name or the number. I said, what is thy name or number? And he spoke up and said, there are 19 more in here besides me. Well, I said, I command you and all 19 of them to come out. And they came out. I'm talking about in the vision, and then it worked the same way in experience. Now, they just left. Those that looked like big flies just went away a flying, and the other like a little monkey left. I said, Lord, you know, because I didn't know as much then as I know now, 1952, 30, 29 years ago. I don't know much yet. But, you know, the more you learn, the less you see you know. Amen. And so I said, you know, where do these demons go when you cast them out? I said to him, because I'd heard others, ministers, threaten them, you know, I'm going to cast you into the abyss or the pit. Could we cast them into hell or to the abyss or into the pit? I mean, he said, no, you can't. Now, first of all, he said, if you could, when I was on the earth, then I would just rid the earth of all of them I could by casting them down there into the pit. See, you wouldn't have, you just have that many less to put up with. Well, I said, why can't we? Well, he said, didn't you ever read? And then he called my attention to the fact, and you read, on more than one occasion when he entered into the synagogue and these demons in these people recognized him, they would cry out and say, we know thee who thou art, thy Holy One of God. And like this one said, as I come to torment us. He just said that thou torment me not. The other said, has thou come to torment us before the time? You see, the time hadn't come yet. Thank God the time will come when the devil himself will be bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And there'll be nothing that'll hurt or destroy. Isn't that right? Well, I said, where do they go when you cast them out? He said, they walk through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. And that's what the scripture said that we read. It said when the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, he goes to the pit. No. He said he walks through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said they'll go right back into the same house they come out of if the people will let them. Now, see, that's the reason that you have to teach people. You do people an injustice to cast devils out of them and not teach them. Because they may wind up in the worst shape in the world before you ever cast a devil out of them. They said when the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. He said, I'll go get seven more spirits. He went and got seven more spirits, more wicked than himself. And all of them entered into that man. And his last state was worse than at the beginning. I've seen that happen. See, you would do an injustice to a person to cast a demon out of them if you didn't take time to teach them, get them established in the word, teach them how to stand against the devil, because he is going to try to come back. Putting it in my own words, here is also a spiritual law. You can see it through the Bible. Wherever the devil's gone out of, he'll always try to come back. He'll try to come back. That's when we need to be taught in the word, grounded in the word, full of the word. See, he came back and found the house empty, swept and garnished. Now, it was clean, wasn't it? Empty, swept and garnished. It was clean, all right, but it was empty. Let's get people full of God and full of Christ and full of the Holy Ghost and full of the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Full of the word of God. That's what Jesus did. He took the word of God when he met Satan. Said, it's written. It's written. It's written. Amen. Amen. He said, they'll come. They'll walk through dry places seeking rest. And I could see them there in that vision walking through these low places and dry places. And just to and fro. Just like this. Restless. And they come right back. Right back. He said, they'll come right back to the house they came out of. And if they'll let them. They'll let them back in. If they can't get in there, they'll go get in somebody else. And they'll stay in that person unless they're cast out, discerned and cast out. They'll stay in that person until that person dies. Now, they'll leave the body when that body dies. And when they do, when that person dies, then they'll go get in somebody else. I had one experience in the hospital one time. A person died. I was standing there at the foot of the bed and they died. The minute that person physically died, there was something leaped from them to me, just as real as you couldn't see it, but I could certainly feel it. I could feel it when it hit my body. And I said, no, you don't. No, you don't. You don't get in me. You'll have to go get in somebody else. You can't get in my body. And left. That's one reason somebody asked me, said, you believe in divine healing? You know, you talk about haven't been sick, haven't been to a doctor in nearly half a century. Well, I'm not against doctors. If I need to go to a doctor, I'd go, but I don't need to go. I mean, you know, I had a headache. Last headache I had was August 1933. It's too late to start having headaches now. You understand what I'm talking about? Amen. Right on the tail end of this vision, because there's more involved here with this man that I'm not going into detail about. Jesus is talking to me. And he's talking to me further about demons and their activity, and there's a part of it I missed. And here's something I want you to see, that it can bring much revelation to us and understanding if you grasp it. You see, he's talking to me about demons and activity and how to deal with them, when suddenly there was another demon, looked like a little imp, very similar to a little monkey, but different, you know, run up between me and him, Jesus and myself, and put out something that looked like a black cloud, like a smoke screen, you know. I couldn't see through it. I couldn't see Jesus anymore. Couldn't see him. Then this same little old demon jumped up and down, throwed his arms out and his legs out when he had jumped, and hollered in a real shrill voice that would just absolutely almost seem like it'd wreck your ear. I mean, it's like a whistle, you know? Shrill voice. Yakety yak yak. Yakety yak yak. It hurt you. Just hollered, that kind of a voice. Now, I could hear the voice of Jesus. He just went right on talking like nothing was happening. And I'm missing it. See, I can't distinguish the words for that. What that demon, see. Yet he just goes right on like nothing's happening. Goes right on. I can hear his voice, but I can't distinguish the words. And you know, all kind of thoughts. You know, I just panic almost. Oh, dear God, I mean, don't Jesus know I'm not getting that? And I never did get that part of it. I believe, yeah, that's it. I got it. Know what the Spirit just said to me. That's the part I'm going to get. He's going to reveal to us. I never did get that part. I never did get that part. I never, yeah, that's it. I got it now. Yeah, we'll get it. I haven't got it yet, but we'll get it. That's reading much further teaching. I never did get that part. It was in connection with this man I saw in the vision and dealing with demons. And I never did get that part because I could hear the sound of his voice but couldn't distinguish the words because of this demon, and I couldn't see him. I don't know how long it went on, you see. To me, you know, a few seconds out of way at a time like that, it seemed like 10 minutes to you. And I thought, you know, don't Jesus know I'm not understanding? I need that. I need to get that, and I'm not getting it. Don't he know I'm not getting it? And then the thought flashed across my mind. Why did Jesus let him do that? Don't he know I need to understand what he's saying? And I'm missing it. I'm not getting it. See, his voice is going right on, just going right on talking like nothing happened. And then the next thought, why don't Jesus do something about it? Why don't he just tell that devil to shut up and to hush? He went right on talking. The devil went right on yakking. Then I did grow panicky. I thought, dear Lord, I'm missing all of it. And I need that so desperately. And I can see it now how desperately, more desperately I need than I realize. Today I see that. Until finally, just in desperation, I cried out, you foul spirit, I command you to shut up in the name of Jesus. When I said that, kerflop. He hit the floor. That demon hit the floor like a sack of salt. And that cloud disappeared. And I could see Jesus. And that little old demon just lay there on the floor and whimpered and whined and shook, trembled all over. Like a little old pup, you know, a dog you'd whipped, you know. And I was really aggravated with him. And I said, not only shut up and get out. And he ran out through a side door that. Then I looked back to Jesus and I'd missed the whole thing, whatever you're saying to me. I missed it. Don't know a word he said. How valuable it would have been if I'd have got it. That's what the Spirit was telling me there a while ago. See, it would have completed if I'd had it. That would, you know. But that's the reason every time you preach it, every time you teach it, you feel an incompleteness because you didn't get it all. Now, Jesus knows what I'm thinking. He knows what you're thinking. He said to me, pointed to where that little demon had been lying there on the floor, said, if you hadn't done something about that, I couldn't. See, because those thoughts flashed across my mind. Why did he permit it? Why doesn't he do something about it? I said, Lord, I know I misunderstood you. You didn't say, if I hadn't done something about that demon, you couldn't. You said you wouldn't, didn't you? No. He said, I said, if you hadn't done something about that demon, I couldn't. No, I said, there's something wrong with my hearing. It's gone bad. I know I didn't hear it right. Now, you didn't say, if I hadn't done something about that demon, you couldn't. You said you wouldn't, didn't you? No. He said, I said, if you hadn't done something about that demon, I couldn't. No, I said, I know I'm not getting it. I know there's something happened to my hearing. There's something wrong somewhere here. You didn't say you couldn't. You said you wouldn't, didn't you? He said, no, very emphatically. I mean, he put the emphasis on it. I didn't say I wouldn't. He said, I couldn't. Well, when he said it so emphatically, you know, I said, now, Lord, that was exactly opposite of what I'd heard all my life. I mean, even preached. Isn't that embarrassing to preach things is not so? We all have. That's the reason I have such patience with others a lot of times. It's preaching something that I know is not so. But now what Jesus told me just contradicted what I thought, what I believed, what I'd been told, and what I'd preached. Just contradicted it. I said, Lord, now that's different than anything I've ever preached, what you're saying to me. If you hadn't have done something about it, I couldn't. Because see, we'd pray, Lord, God, rebuke the devil. Jesus, rebuke the devil. We knew we couldn't. We were going to try to get him to. Didn't we? If you've ever been back there, some of you know we did. Come on. Some of you may be doing that yet. I said, that's different than anything I've heard preached. I never heard anything like that. I said, I can't accept that. It's different than anything I ever preached, different than anything I ever heard. Different than anything I ever heard preached. I can't accept it. I said to the Lord Jesus, to his face, I said, I won't accept anything that can't be proven by the written word of God. I don't care if I am seeing you. Don't care if I have a vision. Don't care if I have a supernatural experience. If it's not in line with this book, I won't accept it. Somebody said, everything's supernatural. People say, well, that must be God. No, I said, I won't accept it. I said, I don't care if I am seeing you. I hear you speak to me just as plain and as real as any man ever heard in my life speak to me. But I won't accept it unless you could prove that to me by the word of God. And the Bible said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word be established. So I want at least three scriptures that says that out of the New Testament because we're living under the New Covenant. Now, do you think that he got mad at me for saying that? I remember. I never will forget. He smiled so sweetly and said, I'll go you one better. I'll give you four. And poor old me, I'm bad about that. Opened my mouth and exhibited my ignorance. You know, if you keep your mouth shut, people don't find out how stupid you are. See, now they may think that you're stupid. They may think that, but if you open your mouth, then they know it. You know, it reveals to them, you know. And so I opened my mouth, blessed my heart, and said, my Lord, now I've read the New Testament through 150 times and portion of more. And if there's anything like that in there, I don't know it. He said, why, son, there's a lot in there you don't know yet. And then he got me in worse before he got me out. You know, he has a way of doing that. I said, God has a way of doing that. The Lord has a way of doing it. He got me in deeper before he got me out. See, he said, because he knows what I'm thinking, what I've been taught, what I preach, and so on, you know. And he said, there's not one single place in the New Testament, not one single writer that wrote a letter to the church. You know, you start with Romans, where Paul wrote to the church in Rome. You come right on through his writings, Paul, Peter, John, James, Jude, any of them that wrote a letter to the church, there's not one single time where he told the church to pray against the devil. Or not one single time where he told the church to pray that God or Jesus would do something about the devil. Well, I couldn't think of any right then, even though I had read the New Testament 250 times. And then he said to pray that I, Jesus talking to me, or that God the Father would do anything about the devil is to waste your time. I remember I said to him, dear Lord, I've wasted a lot of time. I've wasted a lot of time. I'm going real slow here so you'll get this, because it'll revolutionize your life. He said, God the Father and I have done all that we're ever going to do about the devil until the time comes when the angel will come down from heaven, bind him with a chain, put him in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Up till that time, heaven is not going to do anything else about the devil. He said every single time in the scriptures, in the New Testament, I'm going to give you the four witnesses now, he said, the church is instructed to do something about the devil, or the believer is. And if they don't do it, it won't be done. Now first he said, you'll read, and this is the first reference, Matthew 28. You'll read how I arose from the dead. Jesus talking to me now, he said. And how that I said here, you see, when I arose from the dead and appeared to his disciples, he said, I said, Matthew 28, 18 and 19, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, this Greek word translated power, as he said to me, is also translated authority elsewhere in the New Testament. So you could read like that. All authority is given unto me both in heaven and in earth. Now, he said, if you stop reading at the end of that 18th verse, you'd say, well, dear Lord Jesus, you do have power, authority on earth against devils or demons or anything, or do anything you won't do, because you just got through saying all authority is given unto me both in heaven and in earth. But he said, I immediately delegated the authority on the earth to my church and to believers. I immediately said to them, go. Go. Therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've said unto you. And he said, as Mark put it in the 16th chapter of Mark, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs, the first sign that was to follow believers was, they, in my name, they shall cast out devils or demons. He said they couldn't cast them out if they didn't have authority over them. I gave the church authority. He said, in fact, a better way to say that would be, in my name, they shall exercise authority over demons. Hallelujah. Well, that's one reference. All right, go to James 4:7, James, writing to the believers, writing to the church. We know he's writing to the church, because what did he say? Is any sick among them, call for the elders of the church. Church, church, church. James 4:7. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now that applies to the church as a whole, or it applies to each individual member of the church, doesn't it? Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Now, you is the understood subject of the sentence. You resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. As Jesus said to me, you couldn't resist the devil if you didn't have authority over him. See, he didn't say, get Jesus to resist the devil. He didn't say, pray that God will resist the devil. He didn't say, get your pastor to resist the devil. He said, you resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You can resist him because you have authority over him. You couldn't resist him if you didn't have authority over him, could you? No, certainly not. So you've got to do something about him. If you don't do something about him, nothing be done about him. That's second reference. All right, third one. 1 Peter 5:8-9. 1 Peter 5:8-9. Your adversary, the devil. Adversary means enemy, opponent, one arrayed against you. That's the devil. As a roaring lion. Didn't say he was. Says as a roaring lion. Walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Yeah, he's very real. Don't pass it by. Don't just pass it off as unimportant. What's he doing? He's here. Satan is called in 2 Corinthians 4:4 the God of this world. He's got a right to be here. That's the reason these folks said, these demons said, if you come to torment us, don't torment us. If you come to torment us before the time, don't send us away out of this country. As a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, let's put it this way. Peter wrote that to the church. He's warning the church about it. In other words, you could put it like this. Your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour among the church. Seeking to devour the church. Seeking to devour believers. Too many times they played into his hands and let him do it. What are you going to do about it? Stick your head in the sand like an ostrich and maybe it'll go away? No, 1,000 times no. Next verse. Whom resist? The devil, your adversary. Well, that means Satan, the devil, demons, or all of his cohorts. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Or another translation said, whom resist steadfast in your faith. See, you couldn't resist him if you didn't have authority over him. You've got the authority and the power to do it. See, our problem is we want somebody else to do it for us. You know what Jesus said to me? He said Peter wrote that. He said Peter could. He's writing that to the believers, to the church. See, if it had been like it is today, Jesus used these very words. Said, if Peter had been like some preachers, you know, or some people today, he'd have said, well, now it's come to my knowledge that our dear the beloved Apostle Paul, God's used him especially in helping people, casting out devils. It's knowledge has come to us that God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought under the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from him, and the evil spirits went out of him. So I suggest you write to Paul and get one of those handkerchiefs. That's what Jesus said to me, word for word. But he said, no, he didn't do that, even though that was true, that God did use Paul that way. He said, you do something about that devil. Can you see it? You is the understood subject. You resist the devil steadfast in your faith. You've got the authority to do it. That's what he said. If you hadn't done something about that devil, I couldn't. See, I had the authority to do it. If I didn't do it, it wouldn't be done. Now, one more. This is number four. Number four. Ephesians 4:27. Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, neither give place to the devil. Now, what does that mean? Well, put it in the ordinary our vernacular. He said, don't give the devil any place in you. Now, that means the devil can't take any place in you unless you let him. You couldn't keep him from it if you didn't have authority over him, could you? I said, could you? I saw that. I saw how we had missed it. We tried to get God to rebuke the devil. We tried to get Jesus to rebuke the devil. We tried to get somebody else to do it. And the final analysis is up to us as individual members of the body of Christ. Say it out loud, I have authority over the devil.
I have authority over the devil.
Oh, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Man, that's shouting grounds, isn't it? See, you don't have to be afraid anymore.
Amen.
Now, if that don't seem real to you, you just keep on saying it till it does dawn on you, till it registers down here in your spirit. Keep on saying it till on the inside of you, you know that just like you know your ears are here. Praise God. You may have to say it for a month. You may have to say it for 6 months. But keep saying it.
Amen.
I have authority over the devil. I'm going to exercise that authority. Praise God. But you see where we fail? A lot of times we didn't know. I didn't know. And sometimes you talk about some of these scriptures. Is this the devil? He'll flee. Did you ever know it said flee? F-L-E-E, flee from you. Well, that means run from you. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Well, I knew flee meant to run from you, all right. But I remember after that vision, I looked in the dictionary trying to get an adequate, you know, the way I could see those demons when I saw them quiver and shake and run, to get a good definition of it. So, I had a smaller dictionary, probably 2 inches thick or something like that. And the definition it gave just wasn't satisfying to me. So I was preaching a little while after in the pastor's, for a pastor, and I was in his study, and he had one of these dictionaries about a foot thick or more, you know, going to be great big, and it sat on the table by itself, it's big, you know. So I looked, and you know, it had a number of pages about flea, not just one little old definition. It used flea, to flea, and so on and so forth. And I finally found one that struck me in my spirit. It says to, because it even quoted, this dictionary even quoted the Bible. It said to flee from means to run from as in terror. Then I knew what made those little old demons shake and tremble and so. They were in terror. They're afraid of you. Well, not per se as a human being, but they're afraid of the authority you have and Jesus. Run from as in terror. Glory to God. We've got that old slew foot's number now. You've been running from him. You've been afraid and scared. And all the time he was scared. You didn't know it. And if you just stood your ground, he'd have run from you as in terror. But as it was, you gave place to the devil. He said, need to give place to the devil. But you opened the door and he came in and took over. I'll tell you what, I've got great faith in the authority Jesus gave the church. Hallelujah. Jesus arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Victorious over demons. Praise God. He put them to naught. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He spoiled principalities and powers. Blessed be God when he ascended on high. And he said, all authority, all power. Glory to God. All authority. All authority. Not any higher authority. All authority is given unto me, Jesus said, in heaven and in earth. And he immediately delegated that authority on power on the earth to the church. Woo, glory to God. And if you don't do something about it, it won't be done. That's the reason I had to do something about that devil. Well, I said, what about that, dear Lord? You said here, it said we wrestle against principalities, powers. See, it starts at the bottom. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of the world, wicked spirits in the heavens. He said, you take care of them down there, and I take care of them up here. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. See, he's got authority in heaven. We've got it on the earth. Praise God, praise God. All authority. All power has been given unto me, Jesus said, both in heaven and earth. Amen. Amen. God, give us a revelation of it. Help us to see it in our spirits, not just in our heads. Oh, God, bring us a revelation of it in our spirits. Help us to be conscious of it. And that authority, that power, that authority on the earth is delegated unto the church. No wonder Jesus said, what things ever you shall bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What things ever you shall loose on earth will be loose in heaven. See, that's the reason he said that, because you got the authority. He said, what things ever you refuse to allow to be on the earth will be refused to allow in heaven. What things you permit, see, on earth will be permitted in heaven. In other words, heaven will back you up in it, because he gave. See, that's the reason these things happen. We permit them. It's all in the world reason to happen. We permit them. See why that happened? Can you see that? Can you see that little devil running up there putting out that cloud? Can't see Jesus. Hid his face. Can't hear him. I permitted it. See, that gives you the answer. Why can't I get through? See, laying it off on somebody. You permitted. You couldn't get through to heaven. You couldn't get an answer. Heaven's blocked. Who's to blame? Heaven? No. Devil, well, partially, but you primarily. You permitted it. You permitted it. Why don't heaven do something about the condition I'm in? Why don't heaven do something about the devil that you can see is rampant in the land? Why don't heaven? Why does heaven permit it? Because we do. I said, because we do. We're the ones that did it. We're the ones that permitted it. Amen. The devil's been rubbing your nose in the sand, some of you. And he thought all the time, just laughing about, if you just knew it, you could have been rubbing, he could be rubbing my nose in the sand. I hope he don't find it out. But now then he's getting afraid. I can see over there in the spirit world. He's beginning to tremble already. Yet, oh, they're finding out. They're learning it. They're finding it out. My, they're finding out. We better run. We better get home before they do and straighten things up. Because they found out. Whoa. Glory. We might as well get home, pack our belongings and leave. Because when they get here, they're going to put us on the run. Amen. Amen. You understand what I'm saying?